Hi, my name's Simon Walden, and this is the latest podcast from FilmPhotoAcademy.com. And on today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about my wedding day. No, I don't mean the day I got married, but how my day is structured around shooting at a wedding. Now, most of you will know me as a photographer who primarily works in the commercial, fashion, and portfolio arena. But, like a lot of commercial photographers, weddings are a big part of my business. And I'm going to talk you through my particular process, how the timetable runs, some of the things that I do during the day to make it all happen. So this is principally about organisation rather than about shooting. So the wedding day actually starts the day before, and that's when I check through everything. And here's the list of the stuff that I'm going to take along on the day. Batteries for both the camera and for the flash unit. I have lots of everything. I go with 3 sets of camera batteries and enough batteries to do 3 battery changes on the flash unit. Along with the flash unit, I also have extendable battery pack to go with it. So that's a set of 12 batteries for each change. So I've got 24 AA's and 3 batteries for the camera. They all have to be charged, make sure they're all fully charged up. I charge them in blocks of 4 for the AA's, and I keep them in blocks of 4, so that if for whatever reason I happen to have missed a block and I'm getting no power out of one block, I can just throw the whole set away and not worry about it. As I go through the day and I'm using them, they get ripped out and they get put away into a completely different place. I've got no chance of confusing used batteries with charged batteries. Next up, I get the sat-nav out to make sure I've got the details for the sat-nav. Sat-nav has been invaluable to me. Trekking around country roads and getting from the bride's house to the church, the reception, sat-nav has been absolutely brilliant. Doesn't always take me the most efficient route, but I know I'm going to get there. But just in case the sat-nav should pack up, I also have maps of all the locations that I'm going to. I check I have phone numbers for bride and groom, maybe the mother as well, maybe for the house, you know, any means, just in case I need to contact them at any point. And certainly you can't rely on being able to contact the bride or groom by mobile on their wedding day, because quite often they've turned it off, lost it, don't have it in their bridal gown or whatever. I also check I've got the shoot list from the couple. This is the list of particular formal shots that they want in these days of extended families and broken families and all the rest of it. Do I know which parents go with which sets and all the rest of it? Check that the car has petrol on a good day. I also check the water and oil as well. Just put a bit of personal survival, a couple of bottles of Coke and some energy biscuits. Largely I shoot all day long. I don't eat until the evening, running on adrenaline. So the Coke keeps me hydrated, as well as a bit of caffeine in the system, and the biscuits give me some high energy and some calories to run off. Dig out the suit, make sure the suit's clean. I've got a well-ironed shirt to go with it. I'm not a photographer that shoots looking scruffy. I believe that you should look your best. And I have a tailored suit, I have 2 tailored suits that are slightly long. They sort of have an Edwardian cut. So I don't look out of place alongside the wedding party, but I'm clearly not part of the wedding party. Make sure I've got business cards in the suit pocket. I take 2 cameras. 3 lenses, lots of batteries to go with them, 8 memory cards, and I cycle through the memory cards during the day. If I were to lose a memory card, well, I would lose a portion of the day, but I change those about hourly. I take along a monopod. I do take a tripod sometimes, but I just find it gets in the way, to be honest. It's a bulky bit of kit to cart around and doesn't suit my kind of reportage style where I'm moving a lot. The monopod, being lighter and smaller, is a much more useful piece of equipment. In the evenings, I run a portable studio. So that means I take along a highlight, lastlight, highlight box, 2 strobes, one to light the highlight and one to provide the frontal illumination, all the necessary power cords, wireless triggers and lighting stands to go along with that. So all of that's done on the day before. It's all packed into carry cases. So on the morning, I just wheel the carry cases straight into the car and off I go. So, that's the day before. Now I'm going to run you through a typical timetable for a day. Obviously, it varies from day to day and exactly what's going on with the wedding. But my typical day is about a 12-hour day actually shooting. and all told, probably about a 14-15 hour day by the time I'm allowed for travel, packing equipment, etc. So it starts, I will arrive at the bride's house, or maybe the bride's hotel, at 10 o'clock in the morning. This is to do those portraits of the bride getting ready, and the maids, and the bits and pieces like the gifts, and the shoes, and the dresses, and the detail stuff. And it's also an important part of getting to know the bride and the bride's family, and crucially getting the bride to relax into the day, and relax into being with me, and to stop her being camera conscious. For me, the bride's going to be a big focus. And actually, I'm kind of laid-back kind of guy, and part of that soothes the bride down. You know, it's a big day for her. She's rightly feeling nervous. What I want to do is I want to keep a measure of excitement, and I work hard at keeping that excitement go, but I want to soothe away the tension and the nervousness about it all. What you do have to be careful with this is you spend quite a bit of time with the bride's family, and you have to compensate to make sure you also know the groom's family when you get to meet them. At the end of that, assuming I manage to get them ready on time, I'll have some bridal portraits and some brides with the maids and brides with the parent and so on. Then let's say 12 o'clock, I will leave the bride and I will head over to the church. There I'm going to meet the groom and his best man and his attendants, get some photographs of them, get some photographs of the rings. I like to do it before the rings go on. I just call me superstitious, but I just think it's unlucky to remove the wedding rings later on in the wedding day to photograph them. So I'll take the rings on their own. Make sure I get to know the groom's family as they arrive. And obviously I'm photographing all the other guests as they turn up. And I'm getting hints and tips about who's who. Make sure I meet up with the vicar or the priest or the celebrant and find out what the rules for the session are. Usually I've primed the bride and groom to find out in advance, but it doesn't hurt just to be polite, to have a chat to the priest, find out what I can and cannot do. And often that's quite restrictive, and that's fine. I've already primed the bride and groom that I may not be able to take pictures during the service itself. And that's okay with me. It's a sacred service, and that's kind of the way it should be. If I'm allowed a bit more flexibility, then I'll have a look at how that works in the church or the venue, where I can go to without putting myself in front of what's going on, so the congregation's attention is still on the bride and groom. So we run through the service, and usually the finish will be the signing of the register. In some cases, the celebrant will allow the register to be photographed as they're doing it. In other cases, they prefer that to be done separately. Actually, I hate that shot. It's a really difficult shot to pull off, to get it a nice-looking photo, and it's also the time when the bride and groom are looking at their most self-conscious. We'll move on out from the service. Let's just assume that we're doing all the formal photographs at the church. You have to be flexible. You might be doing it at the reception venue or some other location, but just stick with the church. Let's say the service is finished about 2 p.m. My target is I'm going to be finished doing all the formals by 3 p.m, ideally before that. My scheme is I collect the entire group, everybody, the entire congregation, as soon as they come out of the church. So before they disappear off to go and have cigarettes around the back of the church or anything like that, and when they're all under control. So I get the big group shot, and then I thin them out. So I remove the friends, and then I remove some of the family. So I'm doing, say, the bride's family, but the whole family, and then I thin that down. And that's all part of my crowd management control. And then I'll bring in the other family, and then I'll build that up. So let's say I start off with the groom's family, so I have their whole family, then just brothers and sisters, then just mother and father. Then I do the reversing for the bride's family. I'll start off with just her mother and father, add in brothers and sisters, add in the extended family. Then usually I have to clear everybody out and then bring in all of the friends. And I like to do that quickly. I think as a guest at a wedding, there is nothing more tedious than spending 2 hours standing around while people are being photographed. As soon as that's out of the way, I'm into candid mode. I'm photographing people, saying hello. It's the first chance that the bride and groom have really had a chance to say hello to people. There's lots of cuddles and laughs and things going on. So I'm really, really active, racing around, getting lots of pictures in. And then the final bit of orchestration really is the confetti shot. Often that has to be done on the church gateway. They don't like confetti in churches anymore. And it needs to be organized. You need to get everybody lined up, everybody armed with confetti, and you need to count them down. Otherwise, the confetti gets chucked out in sort of dribs and drabs, and you don't get that real kind of heavy snow of confetti. And of course, finally, there's the departure of the bride and groom in their car from the church. So we get them going into the car, a couple of shots in the back of the car, and then they're off. And I leap into the car then, and I really want to follow them so that I'm with them at reception. So let's say it's now 3 o'clock. I've got until about 4 before they're going to sit down for the wedding breakfast. Why is it called a wedding breakfast when you have it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Anyway, so I've got about an hour. The reason why I've leapt into the car is that I want to be with the bride and groom when they arrive at the reception and get them greeting their guests at their arrival. There might be a few formal shots, but essentially it's lots of candid work about people arriving and saying hello to the bride and groom and what's going on. And it's at this point that the bride and groom are starting to relax down a bit as well, so I can get some nice relaxed pictures of them. 4 o'clock, dinner time. That's my break from about 4 till 5. I sneak off and I sit somewhere quietly and just have a bit of a relax and a recuperation. Some photographers like to eat with the guests. I don't like that. I'm still on duty if I do that. But for me, I like that break and that bit of quiet. Around about 5 o'clock, though, I'll be starting again with the speeches. Speeches are a bit of a difficult topic to write. You can't kind of really stick your head in and stand in front of them while they're speaking. For a kickoff is going to interfere with the event itself. You're probably going to distract them from their speeches. So I tend to shoot with a long lens from a distance away. Requires a very steady handheld shooting. Might use the monopod for that, and a reasonably high exposure to keep the shutter speeds at a reasonably high enough speed. You have to watch out for when presents are given out and thank yous are given out to particular individuals. You want to kind of catch that moment where there's a hug or a kiss or whatever. Let's say dinner finishes around 6 o'clock. The evening session is probably not going to start till 7:30, so I've got an hour. And at that point, I will take the couple away and we'll go around the building or the grounds, whatever kind of looks good from a photographic viewpoint, and we'll do some nice, relaxed, romantic pictures of just the couple on their own. And it's also a bit of a breather for them too, a bit of a chance for them to kind of get out of the limelight and have a chat to themselves. And I'm careful to allow that to happen. I want them to get out of the mode of being on show and to get back into the romance of the day. And I kind of work at promoting that in their mind. So they have lots of cuddles and kisses and some quiet chats. When I'm leading them around the ground, say, I might kind of take a few steps ahead of them. So they've got just a few minutes on their own where they can have a chat amongst themselves. They obviously still, though, need a bit of time to go and freshen up or maybe even get changed for the evening. So about 7 o'clock, I'll let them go off, do what they need to do. And that's the point that I set up the mobile studio. Now, it might be a disco, they might have a band or whatever. So I'm setting up the studio as close as I can to the action because I want people to have the studio near to where everybody is and then just drop in, have a photo, go back to dancing or whatever it is. Hopefully, I'll be able to get some test shots from the disco lighting. That whole evening setup is difficult, though. Disco lighting, which is the thing that's giving you all of the atmosphere, if you like, isn't very bright and not very well placed. So you need to balance that out with maybe a bit of flash and a bit of a mix. What I try and do is I'll shoot a number of different ways. I will shoot with no flash, so it's just the disco lights on their own, and there'll be motion in the people as they're dancing and so on. I will shoot with a drag shutter, so maybe a 20th of a second, 10th of a second with some flash, but still getting enough feel and ambience from the area. Then I'll shoot just on program mode flash, so everything's illuminated, but I've lost that ambient lighting. And the reason why I'm shooting those three different styles is the first two I'm going to get a lot of throwaways from because people will be moving too much or the lighting will be in the wrong place or whatever. But they are the ones that create the sense of emotion, and those are the ones that are probably going to be the best photos when they work well, but you get a lot of throwaways. And the ones that are pure flash, those are my safeties, my keepers, if you like, that I know I'm going to get an okay picture. Key point in all that, somewhere along the line, there will be a first dance. You've got to get the first dance. And during that point, that's probably one of the times when I'm more intrusive in this thing, even though I'm still shooting reportage, because I will walk around the stage as they are dancing. So I've got photos of them looking back towards whatever the disco or the band is or whatever, and also photos from the other side, so I've got the congregation and their guests in front of them. And then from the rest of the evening, I'll be dotting backwards and forwards. If there's some fun stuff going on the dance floor, maybe it's the kids or it's mum and dad or whatever, or it's just a romantic moment or they're having a silly time, a silly dance, whatever, I should be on the dance floor photographing that. And I should be dropping back to the portable studio, photographing the guests. And some of the guests will be deadly serious. And some of them will be completely manic and silly and will do all of that kind of stuff. And around about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, that's when I'm looking to break down the equipment and pack away and go home. Occasionally it'll be slightly later than that, particularly if they're doing something like fireworks. You've got to stay on for the fireworks. I can't stay until everybody's kind of closing up and the bride and groom leave. That may not be till midnight and gone. And by that time, by 10 o'clock, frankly, I am exhausted. You've been working hard for 10 hours, not counting all the time to set up and shut down at the end as well. That sounds like a busy day of itself. That's just the start of it. I've been shooting for 10 hours. That's a 2 days' work already. It's going to give me at least another 2 or 3 days' work post-production, sourcing through the images, chucking away the duff ones, picking through the best, presenting a good selection for the bride and groom, but that still shows off my work to the best. If anybody tells you, why do wedding photographers get paid so much? They're only shooting for a couple of hours. Let me tell you, a wedding for me is a week's work minimum. Anyway, so that's my timetable for a wedding day. I hope you found that interesting and useful and a different take. Different photographers approach these things completely differently. And you may talk to the next guy and his approach may be completely different to mine. And that's the beauty of photography. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to drop by to the website. There's always extra stuff going on there. That's filmphotoacademy.com.